Well, you'll see it. Just keep walking. You know what that was? Those were words that ring in my head. In fact, I wake up in the middle of the night with that still in my head. But they were words from several years ago that were ringing in my head one warm fall morning out in Arizona. We had been living in Arizona for just about a year, I think. And one of the things that I loved doing out there is I loved going out hiking and exploring everything out in Arizona. And especially some of the sites and sites around the Superstition Mountains, which were right outside town where we lived. So knowing that, one of my friends kept telling me about this place. He goes, I got to take you someplace. You won't believe it. He said, it's a place where you just have to experience where there's 900-year-old Indian ruins, cliff dwellings. And I looked at him and said, I know about that. That's up on Route 17. There's a big national park there, big parking lot. And you look across the, about 300 yards up on the cliffs, and you can see the cliff. And he goes, no, I'm not talking about that. That's a tourist attraction. He goes, I'm talking about Indian cliff dwellings where you can actually go up into them and experience it. Place your hands in the handprints in the mud that were made overnight. And I'm like, now that's cool. So I'm like, keep talking. This sounds really neat. So that next week, that next Saturday, we got some of our friends together, and we headed out into the Superstition Mountains in my pickup truck and started out outside of town. We're driving down the highway. And then my friend says, all right, turn off here. And it's this little dirt road. I'm like, okay. So I turn onto this dirt road. I'm like, well, what now? Are we almost there? And he's like, just keep driving. Keep driving. We'll get to a point till you get to the parking lot. Just keep driving. So we start driving, and we're driving for miles. And this dirt road starts deteriorating. I mean, it starts, big rocks are in it and everything, big, huge ruts. And I don't have four-wheel drive or anything. So I'm like, I don't think this is a road. And he just kept saying, just keep driving. And I'm like, all right. So we keep going. And then we start going up. See that mountain in the background? We start going up this mountain road, and it starts getting narrower and narrower. I didn't even think it was wide enough that my car could get down. And we're going on these switchbacks up this mountain, and sheer cliffs on the one side. I'm just like, this can't be a road. He goes, just keep driving. So we keep driving. Another hour, we're driving on these roads. And finally, we got to the top of this hill, and we crest the hill, and there's this open clearing of dirt, and it's a parking lot. And I'm like, oh, we're here, finally. So I get out of the car, and I start looking around. I'm like, I don't see any Indian ruins. And he looks at me, and as I'm looking at him, just behind him is a trail down into the woods. And I'm like, and he goes, yep, we're going to walk. And I said, all right. So we start walking down this trail, right? And, man, this trail was sketchy. And we're walking forever, right? And it's all wooded, and then we're going over these huge boulders and having to climb up over these boulders. And then we end up in this dry creek bed, and we're walking down this creek bed, and we're just getting nowhere. I mean, we're walking for miles. And I'm just like, where are we, And I turned around, and I couldn't even turn my head around. All I heard behind me was, just keep walking. And I'm like, so I keep walking. And then the trail starts to close in, and it's all thicketed over, and we actually have to, like, crawl through thickets. And it looks like people hadn't been down this trail ever, Nobody's made it this far on the trail. And I'm just like, what are we doing? And he goes, just keep walking. So we just keep walking. And we're walking. Finally, we're going through this one part. And then up ahead, it starts to get a little brighter through the trees. I'm like, oh, man, something's brighter up here. So I kept walking. And as soon as I got through those trees, I looked up, and there's this cliff. And I look up in it, and I see it. Cliff dwellings. We're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no park service. There's no signs or anything out there. We're just in the middle of the wilderness, and we come upon these cliff dwellings. And let me tell you something, it was the coolest thing you'll ever experience, because we climbed up in these cliffs, and inside these caves were these dwellings, and you could actually go in them. And there's like wood beams from 900 years ago that are still there, and you could put your hands in the handprints of these Native Americans from 900. It was an amazing experience. And I just sat there, right before we started walking back up. And I said, man, if I had quit walking, I would have missed all of this. In fact, This is kind of where we find Joseph this morning. As we return to Genesis, we're in Genesis chapter 41, and we've been looking at the life of Joseph, and this is where, kind of where we find Joseph this morning. He's not in Arizona, some cliff dwelling. He's in Egypt, but he's in the same kind of situation where it seems, you know what, he just can't seem to catch a break. Every time it looks like God is finally going to make things turn around for him, things crumble. I mean, it's been a long time since his brothers had betrayed him. And in jealousy and hatred, they left him for dead. And then they end up selling him where he ends up a slave all the way in Egypt. It's taken all the way down to Egypt, and he ends up at a slave. It can't get much worse than this, right? You're just like, there's no hope. But yet, God places him in a prominent home. And he gives him great success. In fact, so much success that his master trusts him with everything he has. He says, I'm going to put you over everything I have. Maybe things are looking up. Yet, then he's unjustly accused of a crime he never committed by his master's wife. And he's thrown into prison with no hope of getting out. And you're just like, ugh. But God blesses him there. And the guards in the prison see that God is with them, and they place him over all the other people, give him responsibility in the prison over everybody else. Even to the point where he has Pharaoh's servants, his cupbearer and baker, come to him one day and said, We had dreams. You think you could help us? And they were troubled. And he interprets their dreams for them that leads to one of them getting released. And just as the cupbearer was getting released from prison, Joseph said to him, you know, when you get out, remember me. Remember me. Put in a good word for me. I'm in here for no fault of my own. So give a good word. And the guy's like, yeah, I'll do it. And last message, what we talked about, right at the end, we see these words, and the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. And now we find Joseph, it's 2 years later. 2 years after that moment of things looking up. You know, if you were Joseph, how do you think you would feel? You know, every time you start to get ahead, it just things crumble again. And you think God's working, and then things crumble. And now it's been 2 years. What would be going through your mind? I know as I sit there and I look at Joseph, I'd be like, man, disappointment would be an understatement. Probably just discouragement and feeling forgotten, right? Feeling like, man, I just don't know what to do anymore. I just want to give up. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in your walk? You're following God, and God gives you a vision for what he has for you. You know, God had given Joseph dreams when he was a young boy. When he was still back in his homeland, God had given him dreams that one day he'd be honored. He'd be a hero. Now, maybe for us, those dreams look a little different. Maybe it's God gives us a mission. Maybe it's a person we'd love to see come to Jesus, come to new faith in Jesus. We talked about that last week, right? To picture that person. And we have that mission. So we pray about them and we care about them. Or maybe it's a mission to make a difference at work. Or maybe at your school, and just say, you know what, I want Jesus to be seen through me in this workplace. Or maybe it's a vision and a mission for your kids and your kids' lives, that you want to see your kids embrace their faith for their own, for themselves. And you're just like, man, I want to do everything I can to see that. And God gives us this mission. So we, like Joseph, we begin following. Yet sometimes it seems like we don't get there, right? It seems like, man, when are we going to get there? Yet, you know what? Keep walking. You know who that is? That's Jesus. That's the voice of Jesus for us, telling us, keep walking. He's the one who's called us. He says, it's just ahead. Just like my buddy, just keep walking. And this is this morning where we find Joseph at the beginning of chapter 41, where he's in prison. And it starts out like this. And hopefully you're there in Genesis 41. After 2 whole years, I love how Moses says this. He doesn't say after 2 years. Man, he emphasizes, after 2 whole years, can you imagine? 2 years? Nothing. He says, after 2 whole years, this happens. Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed on the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And I read this, I'm like, steak. You're like, whoa. So they eat up these 7 cows. And Pharaoh wakes up. Whoa, what was that? But then he falls asleep. It says when he fell asleep again, he dreamed a second time. And this is for all you vegetarians that are here this morning. Because he dreams about 7 ears of grain that are on a stalk, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump ears, plump full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So here's Pharaoh. He has these 2 dreams in one night, right? And he wakes up in the morning, and he's troubled. Because dreams were a sign of the divine trying to communicate with you. There was a message, and he's like, I know these mean something. So the next morning, what he does is he calls all of his magicians and all of his wise men to him, and he says, I had these dreams. Tells him about the dreams, and none of them knew, had any idea. I don't know what it means. None of them had a clue what it meant. And then this happens. It happens, finally. The king's cupbearer, the one who had been released, he remembers back when he was in prison 2 years earlier. And he says, you know, I had a dream when I was in prison 2 years ago. And so did the baker. And there was this Hebrew there. This young Hebrew was there. And he interpreted mine and he interpreted the baker's. And what he interpreted, it happened just like he said. I was released 3 days later. And the baker, he was executed just as this young Hebrew had said the dream said. So Pharaoh hears this and he wastes no time. Says, behold, he goes and he calls for Joseph. And he has Joseph all cleaned up so he can come in the presence and he brings him to him. And verse 15 says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So then Pharaoh, he shares his dreams with Joseph about the 7 fat cows, the 7 healthy cows that get eaten by the skinny cows, and then the 7 healthy ears that are swallowed up by the 7 withered ears. And here's what Joseph says after he hears about these dreams. He says in verse 25, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God had revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. And he says that these 7 cows represent 7 years, and the 7 ears of grain represent 7 years. And the first 7 years are good years, and the second 7 years are bad years. In fact, they're going to be years of famine. In fact, he continues, it's as I told Pharaoh, this is verse 28, he says, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them will rise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow. For it would be very severe. So he's saying it's going to be 7 good years, but the 7 bad years are going to be even worse than 7 good years. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. So he says, the reason why you had 2 dreams is because God wants you to know something. It's like when Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you in the New Testament. He's saying, you really need to listen. So he gives Pharaoh 2 dreams because he says, I want you to listen because this is going to happen. And it's going to happen soon. Then Joseph goes on to tell Pharaoh, so here's what you should do. You need to find a wise man to oversee this. So one of your guys who's wise can oversee the land and appoint overseers who then will collect during these 7 years, take one-fifth of all of this plenty and put it away and store it for the 7 years of famine so that you'll have something and so that Egypt can survive. And then the passage closes in verse 37. It says, this proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. So they all heard that and said, man, that's good stuff. Now this is a real turn of events, isn't it, for Joseph? I mean, this is something a little different than just interpreting a dream. This is God starting to bring him out now, right? After 2 years in prison. It's been 13 years since his brothers betrayed him and sold him off. And he was taken from his homeland, from everything that he knew. And now Joseph finally starts seeing that light down the trail through the trees. And he starts saying, oh, it's almost here. Could this be? Is this finally? I can think of Joseph sitting there going, man, I mean, I'm so glad I didn't lose faith. So glad I didn't give up. So glad that I kept walking. You see, Joseph, like Joseph, God places dreams in us. Do you know that? God gives us dreams. God gives us, this is what I want to do through you. He gives us a passion, a mission, and to say, man, God, how could you use me? And God starts to give us a picture of that. Last week we pictured it with somebody who might come to Christ. Dreams to use us in the lives of those around us. Dreams to make an impact right where we are as we follow Jesus. And these dreams that God has for us, if we haven't realized it yet, it's just ahead. So just keep walking. And as we discover today, as we look back at this passage a little bit, we discover in the way that Joseph walks in his faith that we can best follow God's lead in making a difference around us when we walk, when we keep walking. In fact, when we walk faithful. You want to know how to walk, how to keep walking? Then we start by walking faithful. You know why? Because God is preparing a way. So we hold on to that, knowing that God is working. Even if we don't know it. In fact, unbeknownst to Joseph, while he's in prison, and he's keeping faithful to God. But God's working. God's working and preparing Pharaoh for Joseph, isn't he? He's working in Pharaoh's life to bring Pharaoh right to the place where he's ready to hear what Joseph has to tell him. And he's done it in a way that Joseph knows about. He gives Pharaoh a dream. Well, Joseph has experience with dreams. You see how God's preparing? You know God prepares people in our lives for us to come? So keep faithful. Imagine if Joseph, during those 2 years alone in prison, had seemingly just forgotten. You know? And he feels forgotten and he stops walking. He just gives up. And as God prepares Joseph, as he prepares Pharaoh, he says, I got nothing. But no, Joseph walked faithful. And like with Joseph, God is always working in and around our lives. Do you know that? I remind you that every week in the series, that God is always working. And God is working not only in our lives, but he's working in the lives of your coworkers. Do you know that? He's working in your friends. You know that person you really want to get saved? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's a friend that you've had for years and you say, man, I want to see him come to Jesus. You know God's working in their life? God's preparing them for you to share Jesus with them. God is always working. And it may be working in somebody's life to make them receptive. So that when we share Jesus, they're ready to hear. It may be taking us through something that then we can identify with somebody that's going through something similar. So we can relate to them. But God is working. You know, Paul reminds us that in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, just after, you know, we're all saved by faith through by grace through faith, right? And he says, because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand so that we should, what does it say? Walk, everybody can say it now. We should what? Walk in them. We're God's workmanship. God is preparing for us. In fact, he's already prepared it for us so that all we do is just keep walking. And we'll walk right into them when we walk faithful. You know, I remember years ago, I told you about that when I started ministry, it was over volleyball groups, the singles group and things. And I remember I'd been doing it for about 6 months or so. And we had great things happen. People were connecting and growing. But you know what? We didn't have anybody get saved. And I'm just like, man, we do this also for an outreach. And I would remind people, I'd share the gospel every week and all of that. And I'd remind people to bring your unsaved friends and nothing. And I was starting to get discouraged. And I remember one week I showed up early and I was just sitting there by myself in the building, all by myself, just praying and saying, God, what's going on? You know, I'm going to keep going, but I don't know what's going on. I want to see you move. Just as I finished that prayer, this young guy comes walking in the door and he looked lost. Because he was way early, and I'm like, he can't be here for this, you know? So I go to him, I said, hey, can I help you? And he looks at me and goes, yeah, I don't know if you can help. I got a couple questions. I don't know how somebody becomes a Christian. How do I place my faith in Jesus? You think you could tell me? And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, talk about walking right into it, right? Do you know why? Because God is preparing what lies ahead of us. For us to simply just walk into. Keep walking. And you know, as we keep walking, and as God prepares a way, you know what we're also to do? We're to keep walking, but we're to walk ready. We're to be ready as we walk. Because God is making ready our moment. You know what our moment is? It's our moment to shine. You ever watch the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament? At the end of the NCAA basketball tournament, after the winning team wins, every year for like the last 35 years, here's what they do. They put together a video montage of the whole tournament leading up, and it's to a song. And the song's called One Shining Moment. Did you ever hear it? And you see all the players through it that were made for this moment. And it was their moment to shine. Well, you know, that's what God does for us. That's what God did for Joseph. When we're following Jesus, there's going to come a moment. That moment when we open up the door and we walk through to what God has for us. Will we be ready? You know, I imagine Joseph, he's down in prison. I mean, he's dirty and filthy and all these things, right? For 2 years. So he's not sitting there going, maybe today. No, he's not thinking that at this point, right? And then all of a sudden, these guys come and get him, right? And they're like, come on, you're coming with us. And they clean him up. It says they shaved him and everything, right? And they bring him before Pharaoh. Imagine him stepping out of that prison into Pharaoh's throne room or his office or whatever. And it's just totally ornate. And everything's around, right? All of a sudden, Joseph's in the spotlight. Everybody's looking at him and looking to him. Guess what? Joseph was ready, wasn't he? Those dreams came, Joseph said, yep, here's what they mean. He was ready. You know, Paul did something like this with a guy that he was kind of teaching in the faith to share Jesus with others. And here's what he says to Timothy, very late in Paul's life, to encourage him. He says to Timothy, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Then here's what he says, for a time's coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itchy ears. They'll accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. You know what he's saying here? saying there's going to come a time, and he says we're going to turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There's going to come a time before you when you're going to get discouraged because you don't think anybody wants to listen to you or hear about Jesus. Can you identify with that at work or with your friends? He says, I want you to be ready. And he says, verse 5, he says, and as for you, always be sober-minded. Be clear. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know what Paul's saying? There's going to come a time, and you think nothing's happening, but there is. So be ready. Because there's going to come a day in their life. They may think they don't want God or they don't need God, but then they're going to discover they desperately need something, and you have the answer. Be ready. And that's what we're called to. We never know when God is going to lead someone to us. An opportunity arises at work or school that we get to make Jesus known, or maybe stop to meet a need in our neighbor's life. It may be after years of nothing. And we think, well, there's nothing going on. You know, it may happen on your way home today. So be ready. Walk ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to step out boldly and follow what God has for you when he starts to open those doors to care and connect with our world that's desperate for Jesus? We don't know. We might not see God working. But he's going to call us, and we need to walk ready. And as Joseph was thrust into this, he was thrust into this spotlight, and he was ready, right? He's in a position to save the day. He was in a position to be rescued. He was in a position to be the star, right? Everybody called him. What's it worth to you? You know? It was a time where he could be thinking about himself and saying, yes, now I'm finally vindicated. Maybe get back at the cupbearer a little bit. And it's his moment. And Pharaoh says, you know, can you interpret this? I heard you can interpret dreams. But here's what Joseph said. He answered Pharaoh, it's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. You see, our dreams God gives us are not for our glory, but his. So walk thankful. Because God is going to give us what we need. God's going to be the one who works. You know, another time when Paul's encouraging the church to keep faithful and to keep walking, he says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Do you know that's what God's doing in your life? No matter where you're going, people sense a difference in you, whether you think so or not. And for the good or bad, we're spreading a fragrance everywhere we go. And we have an opportunity to spread the fragrance of Jesus, living lives of thanksgiving. God's always working. He opens doors. He draws hearts. He gives opportunities. And he alone can change. A person can save. You know, it was God who gave Joseph the meaning of the dreams. It was God who gave Joseph the wisdom then to share how to apply those dreams. What to do about it. This wasn't about Joseph. This was about God. And Joseph recognized it, and he pointed, and he says, I want you to know this isn't me doing this. This is God. You notice when he does the application, he says, go find a wise man. He didn't say, all right, well, here's what you need to do. You need to appoint me. He didn't say that, did he? Why? Because his focus was on God. He's saying, this is the interpretation God gave you. What are you going to do with this? And he walked thankful. You know, it's God who works in and around us. Even when we don't see much happening, we can still be thankful because we know he's always working. And he's leading us, and he's working in ways we might not even see. So walk thankful because he gives us exactly what we need. You know, the truth is God is leading us. God is leading each and every one of us. As you're here this morning, and if you have your faith set in Jesus, He's given you a dream. He's put you in directions. If you close your eyes like we closed our eyes last week, there's going to be a face, a picture that comes to your mind of who He's called you to. Maybe it's a place to serve. Maybe it's a person that needs to hear Jesus. Maybe it's just an environment that you experience, that you confront every week, maybe at school or at work, that just needs Jesus. And God's given us that because He wants to prepare our way, making our moment ready so that we can follow as He gives us what we need to accomplish those dreams He's placed in us. To make a difference for Jesus right where we are. You know, no matter how rocky our path is or overgrown the path that we look at in our life may seem, keep walking. God is with us and He's before us. And as we keep walking, we're going to see it because He's going to bring us to it. Let's pray.